Hello everyone, welcome to the Tech Point Africa podcast. Today we'll be talking about the Nigerian tech startup that shut down in the course of the week. Then we'll move to a veteran in the Nigerian tech ecosystem, Sim Shagaya, and his new venture, which is a fund for African tech startups. Then we'll move to a state in Nigeria that has introduced or is planning to introduce API integration for ride-hailing platforms in the state. My name is Oluwani Femi Kolawole, your host for today's podcast. With me in the studio is
Bolu
and Chimgozri.
Now let's just get into the stories. A Nigerian startup, Depeer, shut down in the course of the week, and there have been a lot of conversation around what the 3-year-old startup is doing. Sounds interesting, but the reason they had to shut down was because of finding a market fit, generally around adoption. So I think we should just try a bit to understand what they do and why it didn't fly in the Nigerian market where it's supposed to play. So Bolu, can you give us an explanation for that?
What they do is, I think, it's something that it's not very common, not even that it's not common in Nigeria. I don't think I've seen anyone trying to do that. So one of the investors that invested in them back in 2021 described it as an API based payment layer where fintechs can enable money movement natively from within their respective wallets and apps. So we did a feature on them, I think it was in 2021. And from that feature, what I understood that they were trying to do was to make it possible to move money within your fintech apps, right? And even regular apps are not fintech apps, but use wallets. Move money between all those platforms without having to route through your bank. So basically, if say there's a food delivery platform that I use, and that food delivery platform has a wallet, right, which I can fund to pay for my deliveries, I can fund that wallet through, say, my PiggyVest, for example. So normally, if I wanted to do that, right, I would probably have to send the money to my bank, from PiggyVest to my bank, then from my bank to that wallet.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make it possible to just go straight from that food delivery app, and then one of the funding options will be funded through PiggyVest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can also go to another platform that has a wallet, and I can fund that wallet from that food delivery platform to that one. So they just wanted to make it moving money around platforms very easy. So that's basically what I understand by what they wanted to do.
Yeah. So within the 3 years that they've operated, how many times have they raised? Because there were talks that they returned investors' money.
Okay, I think they've raised only once. I think 2.1 million. Twice. Okay. I think the 2.1 million
was a seed round.
Was seed?
They raised the pre-seed.
Oh, they raised the pre-seed.
So, so I'm just trying to get a picture of what happened within that time where they were trying to find a market fit and get people to adopt, get platforms to adopt it. So I understand that especially in the fintech space, startups may not be able to build the infrastructure they want. They just plug in, have a lot of plugins so that what they are doing can be seamless.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering why didn't what Depeer is doing, why didn't it fly in the market?
Okay, so the founders made a blog post, and they said they gave two reasons, right?
Okay.
They said one reason why they were shutting down was because of compliance issues, and also because the wallet system, right? It wasn't adopted the way they thought to get adopted. So based on how I described what they wanted to do, it is important that many businesses, many fintechs use wallets, because that's they want to make it possible for you to move money around within
seamlessly
between those apps. So if those platforms are not using wallets, it now makes it difficult for, because no one needs that service if they don't have a wallet.
But what is surprising, because the wallet adoption globally is experiencing, like, at least steady adoption. Okay. Right, the Global Payments Report, they expect digital wallets to grow at 15% annually. Okay. And wallet adoption is moving the same or playing as side by side with card adoption. So it's like the second to be adopted after card adoption. So it says they actually expected it that the same way some of the things that have been brought on by fintech platforms have been adopted, is the same way this will also be adopted. So I don't know if it's safe to say that the PS solution came to the market too early.
Let's see. Let me add some things. First is, it's not just about every business using. So almost all your fintechs have wallets, if not all of them have wallets.
Mm-hmm.
So that first layer of adoption is not a problem.
Okay.
Which is, so if you look, a lot of the first the investors in their pre-seed rounds were usually, most of them were founders of fintechs. So I think Ezra, Prosper, or Eden Life, they both invested in their seed round as well. They also had more founders. So what this does for you is that at the very least you have them,
the number of businesses that can always bring you on to start
exactly
with.
And I know that Eversend's founder invested, and Eversend was also one of the earliest businesses that integrated with them. Nguvu Health, which is an online therapy platform, also invested in they also adopted the PS solution. So the problem there is, it's not really about the fintechs or the companies. It's about customers using wallets as a payment option. I don't know how many times you use your wallet wallets on your fintech apps or any app at all to make any payment. Mm. So I have a few apps that have like wallets in them. I don't necessarily use those wallets frequently, especially when it's a case of having to pay.
Mm.
I typically will use my card.
Yeah.
One reason is I don't like, it's probably because I'm not using those apps frequently enough, which is one of the problems. If I'm not using it too frequently, for example, I would not put a card on, let's say, Uber or Bolt for some reasons. So yes, it's not necessarily that
businesses
don't have
it.
Yeah,
it's people,
it's a case of
customers not
adopting
using
it. So to the Global Payments Report that you mentioned, yes, cards are not growing as fast as wallets, but that's not in Africa.
Yeah,
it's outside Africa. But here's also the problem here. Wallets are growing fast, but for you to fund your wallet, you need cards.
Yeah.
So it's right now, there's no, you still need your cards in most cases to fund wallets.
So it's not an argument of whether wallets will take over from card. I think it's just finding similar level of adoption.
I'm coming to that. I'm just like giving context. So yes, in the US, Europe, most other countries, wallets have like more adoption because they've kind of built up to that level. But in Africa, there was a report by Visa, I think, last year or in 2022. Wallet adoption is not really a thing in Nigeria. About 14% of Nigerians, we are using wallets to make any payments at all. Mm-hmm. So that's one problem. Yeah. They were started operating from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
There were plans to like expand. So if Nigerians are not using wallets a lot, it's just natural that you would struggle with adoption. If they were probably in Kenya, that could have probably worked, because there's like the whole mobile money thing. By the time they launched, MTN hadn't gotten their Momo license. So there was that. I think MTN got the license a year after also. So yes, there's all of that, which is one of the reasons why they struggled with getting adoption. So yeah, it's a case of wallets growing, but not growing as fast as they had hoped.
It should not be responsible to keep burning investor money with you. So hopefully they revisit this solution at some time when the market is more ripe and ready for it. So let's just move from that to what Sim Shagaya is up to. Onibaja Fund. I find the name quite interesting. Shinkwazi, if you help us, like, just give us an overview of Sim's vision or scope for that fund.
Yes, so I can't speak for what the vision is right now with much certainty. If you want to hear from Sim Shagaya, you have to check back next week. I'll have something for you. But let's see. Let's do some more predictions. Okay, so the Honey Badger Fund. Basically, honey badgers are like these wild animals that are both fearless, resilient. They have tough skin. They don't cower under the face of threat. So I'm guessing if you're choosing that name for a fund that's supposed to back African founders, you want to back really bold. I know everybody uses that word here. Yeah. Everybody says they want to back bold, ambitious founders. But yeah, that's the goal here. Something from the website says backing founders who are building, African founders who are building global solutions. So my guess is that two sectors that they will focus on, one is SaaS, and then the other would be artificial intelligence solutions.
Software as a service.
Yes, software as a service and then artificial intelligence solutions. So yes, that's what I am predicting they would do. I'm guessing your next question would be what is the implication now? Okay, let's do implications. So Sim Shagaya is one of the most experienced founders around in Africa. And getting the chance.
Serial entrepreneur.
Yes, serial entrepreneur. Built Conga, built, I think, Lodsad before that. Was it Emotion or something? An advertising company before Conga, then ULSN, and now Miva University. So all of that experience is very helpful for any founder who is just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
So
Even if he's the only one mentoring you.
I mean, yes, even if it's so, first, Sim doesn't do a lot of social media activity.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably don't get to like hear his thoughts except you're doing like in-person interactions.
Yeah.
So I guess it's going to be valuable for any founder to like one-on-one, up close, have conversations with him. Yes. So beyond capital, they said they would try to like basically provide the fuel for you to build your. Build your startup. And the good thing is, like I said, he's one of the most experienced founders around. There's this thing where founders usually say, oh, we want to raise money from ex-founders or ex-operators because they understand the road we are traveling because they've been there before, done that and stuff like that. So this time around, you have someone who's been there still doing that and he can help you hopefully navigate through some of the challenges that you have. So yes, that's the hope. We are not yet certain when investments will start. It's probably going to take a while. I mean, they would have to probably raise a fund. I don't know if that is already in the works. Mm-hmm. Probably going to have to raise a fund. Initially, it's probably going to invest with his own money from like friends, colleagues, and all of that. But at some point, you're going to have to raise a fund. Sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, like you don't have to raise a fund.
Yeah, so at some point, probably going to raise, like, at least start with a small fund and then see how it goes from there. I don't know if that's going to happen this year because right now it's pretty difficult to raise money
for
anybody. So I don't know.
Yeah, so but looking at how challenging it is to raise money or the funding winter that is going on everywhere globally, those are the questions. Some of the questions we'll be asking Sim that you will get to know next week. We're going to be speaking with him concerning this fund and mostly about its intention and when it will kick off. So stay with us and we'll let you know on how that goes. Let's move to the last story for the day. About Edo State's intention to introduce an API integration for ride-hailing platforms in the state. And should I leave you to guess why? Or because if you've been following the trends with Nigerian State and ride-hailing platforms in the past few weeks, you would guess. But let's just let you know what it's about.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, Edo State is planning to create an API that ride-hailing platforms can integrate with, right? And the reason for this is so that those platforms or those companies can share their data with the state government. Interestingly, they made this announcement, I think, during an event that Bolt hosted, and which probably means that Bolt is on board with the whole API integration things.
And data sharing.
Yeah, data sharing stuff. So, like, Tim Gozim, let me anticipate your next question. You probably want to know, okay, why does Edo State government want to? Okay, you're looking at, was that the next question?
Yes, the next question.
All right. So, why does Edo State want these companies to share data? Why do they want them to integrate? So, one of the things, because it has happened in Lagos State government, right? Lagos State government did the same thing. And they said the reason is because, okay, this data, this information tells us, what's transportation like, right? What do people need? What do we need to improve on? Things like that, right? And that kind of makes sense. You want to know how people are moving. But I don't know why you're doing that more with the ride-hailing platforms and not more with the buses and the Korokwes that most of us actually use, because most of us don't have money for Uber. So, but those are the reasons why they want to know these things. And also for safety, right? So that if something happens, authorities can get to this point. But I think I was laughing.
So I like that you mentioned the ideal thing. That
what they said.
Yeah, ideal reasons why government would want to have access to commuters' data. Chim Gozwim, now tell us the things that are not ideal that is possible for them to use the data for.
So, plenty things are not ideal.
Okay.
First of all, I believe they have bigger problems.
You mean government?
Yeah, the government, in fact, the country. The states, I think that the country has bigger problems than trying to get data off Uber and Bolt and
the other guys,
because I don't think you just stop with Uber and Bolt, right? So we have bigger problems than API integration, which I don't even know the technological capacity they have for them to do all of this. But let's leave that one aside. Okay, so why do you want to do this? Let me start with the funny reason. You want to improve security, bro. Lives are still unsecured in the country, and you're struggling to do that one.
Baby steps.
You should take baby steps in other ways, because I don't see how knowing what happens during rides is going to improve security. So first problem is, at least with what we've seen in Lagos, government wants live data. Uber says no. We cannot give you live data. So there's still that fight. We don't want to give you live data. We can't give you live data. And personally, I would not want the government knowing my movement in real time. In fact, if there's a way for you to find out my movement after like 70 years, fine, I'll do that. In real time, in Nigeria, that's not exactly a mouth-watering prospect. So I do not know why that's the hill they want to stand on, sit down. But yeah, that's up on security. I do not see how it solves security problem either way. On the other part, I agree that having that data can help with planning.
Yeah. Infrastructure planning.
Yes. Only problem now is there's no evidence on ground. that you're using data from any other source for your planning. So I do not know what's going to change.
This can't be the only one.
Yes, because this is like for urban planning. Okay, we are going to talk about this later, but in others, like other countries, like in the US where Uber was asked for similar data, the idea was, okay, should we want to know, one, where people get the most rides from, where they stop. And the reason, one of the reasons they gave was, okay, we want to know how we plan our roads, right? So you, if you drive around Nigeria, you see where they say no parking allowed, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a situation where, okay, we can designate certain places for drivers to park when they're waiting for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
So I've also heard of cases where Uber drivers or their passengers are, okay, Uber drivers mainly have to like roam around an area for a bit while the passengers come down to meet them or while the riders come down to meet them. So perhaps if the government has data on where these guys typically
experience this,
yeah, then they can say, okay, we are designating these areas for you to park and wait for riders. Perhaps that happens, but like
there's
I said,
no precedence, and
we don't have any proof that, okay, you've really used data to solve the problem. But I'd also play the devil's advocate, not be angel's advocate. Maybe this is when they would turn a new leaf. I mean, we can't really say. This might be the one time when they decide, okay, let's use this data. Or could this just be, Lagos is doing it, why not
Edo State?
Why not Edo State? What's stopping us?
So, even the league, and another thing that makes me not very comfortable with this data sharing is, in Lagos State, in 2020, they signed an agreement with
Uber,
all these e-hailing companies, that, okay, you share data, and it wasn't live data, right? Which is what Uber has an issue with, why they are having issues with the Lagos. Yeah. Right. So Uber said, oh, we'll share data, right? And they started sharing their data via, they call it a secured folder, right? But now...
Make it don't be saying that Google Drive. Like.
But now the government now wants to change it to data. Live data. And they said they want to identify riders and drivers. So that if there's an emergency... Right. So why are you so worried about people in e-alien rights? For example, why don't worry about the common man?
No, yellow bus. So this, I think I understand. No, I don't understand. Okay. So I'm trying to say that, okay, if you want to monitor something or like look for a trend or something, it's easier with structured platform. They already have existing infrastructure that they can use to transmit this thing with them. Most of these people, they have their own monitoring rooms where they used to monitor their vehicles, move, but in drive, and all they have is. But yes, I'm coming. Mm. So I understand. So I wouldn't even say these riding platforms, maybe they are trying to protect their riders or something. I don't know whether they're trying to protect their customers or just trying to make sure their own privacy setting and privacy policy is not breached in the process. But I think we should talk about the possible implication of sharing your data with government. What could go wrong?
Everything that can go wrong can go wrong.
You know what I think could go wrong? There has been different cases of data on government platforms making it to the dark web, being sold, publicized, and we understand how the government
BVNs.
Exactly. No, how every other day I have this was ethical card that we just see something about is it Palestine?
Pakistani,
right? Mm. Thank you. And she shares random. Anytime you see something like Nigeria in it, you just share this one. They are marketing this one. They are trying to sell this one. I know. And Emmanuel was still reporting about that space in 2020, 2021, there are times that we just reach out to the government and this is what we found, and zilch, nothing, did not say anything. So just imagine if a platform, a ride-hailing platform is sharing live data with government and there's no secured place that it goes to and it gets out. Somebody we know, when I went to the hospital or when I went to see my parents or something like that, and I'm at risk. So Yeah, a lot of things could go wrong. Yeah. A lot of things could go wrong. But I think government has to like intensify efforts to build a reputation that would tell citizens that whatever it is that is getting to us is safe, you know. But no, I don't think Nigeria government.
Uber is actually not saying because of their own privacy policy, but what they are afraid of is, you know, lawsuits and things like that.
Yeah.
So. I mean, they are looking out for themselves.
Be fair, they should not even be scared. I mean, Nigerians even have the strength to drag out a lawsuit. But really, the thing is that data is. So I think Uber has had this issue in the US, where the US government, I think even in Canada, they were asked to like share their data.
Is it live?
So that was a problem. They didn't know if I think initially there were some. Should we give you live data or not? But, okay, yes, they did not give live data in some cases. But finally, they have data like for different areas and they have data on airports. So what I found out is they could actually get, like they were sharing data on the vehicles with identification, like plate number.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have my plate number in any structured system, you should be able to find who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually sharing that data with the government. Mm-hmm. Although there were some cynical people who said, well, the reason they released, so it's called the, Uber Transparency Report. The reason they released that report was so that they could get the public to kind of fight for them against the government.
I think
it makes sense because really that data is, when I said that, I wasn't very comfortable because imagine the government. Yes, I know you probably know my house. But now imagine you know
where I am at every point.
Imagine you know that 5 times in a week I have to be at a specific place at a specific time.
Yeah.
Assuming I use Uber frequently.
Or ride dealing.
I mean, it's not exactly an exciting.
Yeah. So for me. I think it's still still going to be a long fight. I don't know how many riding platforms have conceded.
Both.
To the one that is going on in Lagos, both has considered to share live
are they sharing data. Live data now?
So, from what the commissioner for transport said, he said Uber is the only one
that is yet to
that is not, you know, expressing their disappointment in Uber and all those ones. But the fact is, Uber is the only one that is saying
pushbacks.
Yes, so. I don't know if that automatically means right now, Lagos State government knows where I am at every point in time whenever I use Bolt. I don't know, but what they said is, Uber, do better. Give us live data. Yeah. This way.
Yeah. We just hope that this gets sorted and no one's right is breached.
Amen.
Is breached in the why are you saying amen? No one's right is breached in the process. That's it from us today at the TechPoint Africa studio for the TechPoint Africa podcast. As usual, please don't forget to like, subscribe, and
come for Pitch Friday, yes.
Yeah, please next don't week. Interrupt me. Wait.
Sorry. But come for Pitch Friday, please.
He's still interrupting me.
Honorable, please put my flyer on the screen.
Oh, God.
Okay, yes, there's video.
Okay, next week Friday, the second Friday in the month of April, is Pitch Friday, where we bring together early stage startups to pitch, talk about their solutions, and they receive feedback from the audience. We can't decide the audience.
Mm.
Sometimes there are... There are VCs in the audience you can't know. There are investors in the audience you can't know. There are journalists in the audience.
The actual reasons that they should come. So next week, the CMO of Piggyvest would be present to share how Piggyvest thinks about getting customers. So everything around the marketing effort. It's not like he would tell you exactly what they are doing, but it's going to give you
insights.
All the insights he has learned from doing that for the past 8 years. So if you want to hit like 5 million users in the next 8 years, you know what? The venue is Zone Tech Park, Bagada Expressway. Yes. Zone Tech Park, okay. Bagada Expressway, 3 p.m. I think, I don't know if Friday is a public holiday, I'm not sure.
The next public holiday is on Wednesday and Thursday.
But anyway, I mean, you should try and come. Yeah, I promise you, you enjoy it. And usually we have small chops.
Yeah,
not like I can promise you anyone this time, but try and come.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're building a tech product or you have a business you're running, this is something you would want to attend, because why are you building? Why are you offering those services if not for customers? And if you can't get the customers, how do you make profit? So come and learn from people that have been doing it for years, especially in the tech space, and you'll be better for it. So don't forget to drop a comment for us wherever it is you're listening to this. You can also drop us a reaction on Spotify if you're listening on Spotify. Any other platform you are listening from, please reach out to us. And also you can send us feedback on podcast@techpoint.africa. You can also read all the latest news in the African tech space on techpoint.africa. Don't forget our newsletters that are currently running TechPoint Digest, Modern Workplace Newsletter, and Equity Merchant. We are still expecting one more newsletter, and it's second quarter. We are hoping the newsletter starts.
Amen.
Soon. Thank you for joining us once again, and see you in the next one. Bye.